So this brings up a good question. How's the E-Ray?
Oh, that car, that is the coolest Corvette ever made.
I bet.
Is it the fastest?
No, that's yes. A frightening
it's zero, all-wheel drive.
It's the fastest 0 to 60 Corvette. It's not the fastest top speed Corvette because of the electric motor inhibits it. But the technology, you know, aspect of things and what that car is capable of, it is the coolest Corvette ever made.
All-wheel drive.
Yeah, it's all-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive, electric.
It's an electric front motor, gas rear motor. There's no physical connection to connect the two of them.
No.
And it works.
Right.
And it's not a plug-in hybrid. It's a performance hybrid. It does not affect the gas mileage in any positive way. And then they're supposedly supposed to be the Zora, which is supposed to be the crazy. I think it's supposed to be a hybrid with the ZR1 motor.
Comes with an old man from Poland inside, right?
Maybe.
Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Benty and car builder Steve Stroop, and we're going to tell you some stories.
Well, Steve Stroop's garage. No, it's not. I can guarantee you it's not. Welcome to whatever we are. Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith, minus Jeff Smith.
Sans Jeff Smith.
Sans Jeff Smith. That's right. Brought to you by ARP-Bolts.com.
Correct.
Our good friends at ARP. So, and then...
Do you know any of them? Can you name them? Can you name one?
Who?
At ARP.
A person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jared. He runs a social.
Are you social?
Yes. Yeah,
I'm going to go with Bob Florine.
Bob Florine is the reason that we can keep doing this.
Bob Florine for 200, please?
That's right. Absolutely.
Somebody's pointing at me and I don't know what they're saying.
Well, where's Jeff? Should we ask where Jeff is?
Where is Jeff?
We have an idea.
I'm going to introduce myself since they don't want to be.
No, you're coming.
We're building up.
Oh, well, that's what
way
he
to
was...
shred the whole plan.
Sorry.
That's right.
Where is Jeff? He's riding bicycles.
We have a visual of. We talked to Jeff, and he's on an 11 mile bike ride out and back. So, Jeff in spandex.
I mean, good.
Stand back. Anyway. And who is our guest? Moving off of that.
Now you can go ahead.
Oh, hi. My name is Garrett Reed. And
do you use the Alexander part?
I mean, that's really formal.
It's
really formal. I don't think I've ever introduced myself as such, but we can do that today. Garrett Alexander Reed.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I am a automotive.
GAR.
Yeah, yeah.
GAR.
Yeah, exactly. That's the
I'll
acronym.
Use that I know, for the rest acronym. Of the show.
Right. It worked out that way, actually.
initials are SDS, so it sounds like a soap bar. That's so, right. You're clean with SDS.
Better than SOS, but that's right. But Garrett has an amazing following on his American Muscle HD Instagram.
Yes,
correct?
That is
fair
correct.
Enough.
Yes.
Of 2.3 million. 2.4 million.
Don't sell him short.
Yeah,
wait a minute. Let's
you missed the point.
Let's beat time. Let's beat time for 2.4 million, which is absolutely incredible.
Well, that's a lot of people, that is more than 2.3.
That is he's.
I'm just going to interject. I don't know if you people out there, the fine people putting up and watching and listening, but apologies for the sound of poltergeist going on behind me, which I'm told is a freight elevator, but for some reason I think it is actually a seventh portal to Hades. Mm-hmm. So, moving along with you and your greatness of 2.4. So, what is it you do? Let's pretend that the people watching our show are not one of your loyal 2.4,
but will
they
be soon.
Need to be won over.
Yeah.
What do you do?
That's a great question. People ask me that a lot of times, and I kind of make up an answer I think every time. But
healthy.
Yeah.
Lying.
I do a lot of different things. I'm an automotive content creator, I guess first and foremost. And
quantify that.
Quantify? What do you mean?
Or qualify.
Yeah, qualify.
Use a Q word.
I don't know. I'm just... Let me throw in.
All right.
Okay.
First of all, not to be sound like a fucking suck up here, wow. I've watched your YouTube for a long, long time.
Instagram.
Instagram. Have watched it for... Yeah, same. Yeah, yeah. There, whatever. YouTube. there is a definite difference. So, okay. So YouTube, I have been a subscriber for a very long time. I see your stuff daily.
Thank you.
Which just amazes me. We were talking earlier with somebody who will be up on a future broadcast who we were just talking about earlier, that to be able to build daily content is something special.
Yeah.
And to have it be actually something you want to look at.
Right. It's probably work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
It's definitely work, but...
But you move around. Look at the stuff that goes on. We're here at the Peterson Automotive Museum today. Thankfully, they have let us film here once again, which we're super happy about. And you were doing a live broadcast earlier. I saw that.
Yeah, so yesterday. I saw it today.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I think
I'm not watching.
Right? No, I actually don't do...
Creeping me out.
I don't do Instagram Lives that often, mainly because... And then people will give me crap about this, but I've been an Android phone user for a long time. Never had an iPhone.
Same.
And yeah, good.
Doesn't matter. Boat.
I'm not part of the cult.
Right. Yeah. Right. 100%. But for some reason, well, Apple. Instagram's always been optimized for Apple products for the longest time, and until recently, it's finally given leeway to Android users. Well, for the longest time, when I do live videos, they would always look super grainy. Even when I had good service, they would always look bad. And so people would always comment on them and say they look terrible and da da da. So I was like, well, I'm just not going to do them anymore. And so
it looked good today.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I have to make a disclaimer when I first start. I'm like, whoever's watching this, does it look decent? Does it sound decent? Because I don't want to keep going if it looks like a potato being shot. You know,
it looked good.
Potato.
Yeah. I actually work part time down in the archive department over here at Peterson, looking at photos all day long and saying, okay, that's a Buick. So the bottom line is that I'm down there with that, and it came up, and I showed them all. So yeah. It was one of those deals. It was kind of like, hey, look, that guy just got in here.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing something.
That's
look
awesome.
At that.
Yeah. It's great.
So,
he's doing something.
He's doing something.
Yeah,
that's
working,
right.
I guess.
So, no, but I mean, your content is very good. It sounds like a bunch of bullshit, but I truly do watch and have watched your show for a very long time.
Thank you.
So
I run into you at SEMA and say hi.
No, we do. We always bump into each other at least once a year at some event, and we always
wind up being at the same dinner.
Yeah, usually that happens
and that's
too.
Sean.
Yeah.
Sean but Davis at Autotopia.
At Autotopia,
who has
shout
been
out.
On?
Who has been on?
We've had him on here.
We have indeed.
But I think, getting back to you asking, like, what I do, so I obviously, like, yeah, with the content creation and such, but it seems...
You film car stuff.
I do film car stuff.
There you go.
I'm not a...
Seek out cool automotive thingies and tell people about it.
Yeah, and, I've had cars built. I'm not a builder. As I'm sitting next to one, I can never claim to be such. Yeah. You'll never hear those words come out of my mouth. I can wrench, but I'm not a builder. If things aren't meant to be put together, that's where you lose me. Right. And I'm like, I'm just going to delegate that to somebody that knows what they're doing. So, like, if there's instructions on how to put something together, I can figure it out, and I'll do it. But if it's anything that has to require...
Like Christmas toys for the kids.
Right. Yes. I can put together a Christmas toy. I can put together, like, a shelf.
Sorry. A shelf.
Yeah, because there's not much to do with that.
Or like how I ran a
you're
sports
IKEA ma- certified, is what you're saying.
Something like that.
It's like when I ran Sport Magazine and had no background in sports.
Good.
For 7 years. Seven years as the editor of Sport Magazine.
Man.
Yeah. Know my qualification was? I like the Red
breathing,
Sox. I led the Red Sox.
You liked them.
That was still do. Okay. Yeah, it's a sickness. It's bad sickness.
That's too
but
funny.
Anyway, so yes, I get it that making stuff that doesn't seem to want to go together is an art that Steve has mastered.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Or falling down. I'm good at that too.
Well, either all way, of the above. At the end of the day, your stuff is... It's really, beautiful. Really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, question for the people who do know you.
Okay.
What do you, if you could go and film and talk about blank, what's your favorite thing? Like, oh, I really like it when a car is unveiled, or I really like it when I go to a really neat race, or what is the thing you...
Or you're like the lowriders that were here today.
What do you like to cover? If you could do it all the time, or would that get boring?
Man.
What would that be?
That's a great question. And something I've actually been wanting to do and do like a series about for a long time is I like to go to, builder's shops. So like your shop, Roaster shop, Speedcore, who all these people that I have a connection with. I know somebody there, the Ring Brothers. And go to their shop and see how their process, everybody's process is different.
To spend time there, is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, to spend time, to watch see the it behind go the scenes, like to see their cars in progress, see their guys working, and then seeing a finished product all in one fell swoop. Obviously, you can't be there the entire time a car is being built because a car takes years to build. But like to see a car in bare metal and you see a guy working on it, hand rolling a bumper or something like that, or a hood, right? And then you see another car that's coming out of paint, or you see another car getting interior done, and then you see one of their finished cars. So just seeing each one of their products that they do in a stage. And then getting it to drive one finished is what, right. You know.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So quick disclaimer, because I had no idea that was going to be your answer.
Mm.
I actually have a television series that we might be starting that does that exact thing.
It's called The Rifleman.
Sick.
Now, I do not have 2.4 million followers, but yeah. We might be filming that where almost the exact same thing you said, except I'm going to be visiting all my fellow friends that are builders.
Right.
And hanging with them and talking with them and kind of showing background and stuff like that. So I like your idea because I am doing that.
But you got to think, like, I mean, and probably the reason why you're deciding to do it too is that most people don't get to see. I mean, even with social media becoming a more thing, regular thing, a lot of these cars don't get get that full attention on social media, right? It gets too much to cover. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard thing to document and broadcast, and a lot of shops, some shops, they don't have the social media teams. So like you have guys like Speedcore, the bigger shops that have a dedicated social media team, but then you have these small shops that you may never even heard of. They're just like in a small town in the Midwest, and then you'll see them pop out in Detroit for competing for the Riddler. And it's a $4 million car that took them 10 years to build. And it's like, whoa, who are you guys?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of shops that are like that, and I've seen them come across them. And that's the kind of stuff that I feel like people want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I think part of what goes on there is that actually that would be a way of supporting this whole business by having that kind of information. Because all these small shops, I mean, they're suffering. We had Kevin Ostie on the show, and he has this crazy operation out there in Illinois, Red Butte, Illinois. And they're cranking cars out all the time. He's creating the video. He's doing all this stuff. And he's one of the few that actually can, build the car and capture it and be able to show the stages as it goes together. He's really heavy into the muscle car stuff, so he's not so much into what you do, the custom car stuff. But honestly, if we're going to keep this whole arena alive, we're going to have the ability that those kinds of things get visibility so people can understand what's going on. The one thing that, I started at Hot Rod in 1980. I mean, literally, I was on staff at the magazine at that point in time. And what we used to focus on, we were talking about this yesterday at lunch, is the fact that there are certain beginner type things that always get caught into the magazine. But it was a whole litany of things that were in that magazine, including a whole bunch of stuff that is high end, like Steve gets, gets the cover, he gets this, he gets that, because he deserves it. He's got that kind of thing. But it was also, the magazine had enough pages in it that there was also how to build a small block Chevrolet for the guy who didn't even know what a small block Chevrolet was. That all is gone. But to your point, the ability to have these shops see the light of day when they can't, and they don't understand the social media. I'll be honest with you, just to throw this out. When you were talking to somebody else on a different podcast, we were talking about how you get to 2.4 million.
Yeah.
And it has to do with community. And, you pump my deal, I'll pump your deal. We'll all trade off and make sure that we all kind of come together as a club. And that was what you were saying.
Yeah, right.
Do I have that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you have that right. Well, the same thing happens with shops, that shops could feed off of each other. A guy's building this over here and that guy over there, and you send these people to different places. It's not just a deal for affluent Americans or international types to go build a car because they've got enough money to do so. It would be nice if that small shop that's doing some really creative stuff got some airplay, and that's a tough one.
I think one of the coolest things about it too is that there's a handful of shops that have developed products that they sell. So along with building cars, they also have a product that they sell. So Roadster Shop, for example.
Yeah, Ring Brothers.
Ring Brothers, Art Morrison. They all develop a product that then other builders will use in conjunction with their product. Then you got guys like BBT Fab that make billet parts. They make side mirrors. I actually have their very first G-body mirrors. I actually reached out to them. Because I saw them building. Them building F-body mirrors, and I was like, these are sick. I'd love a set for my G-body. And they actually cut me a set.
Well, they're smart.
Oh, yeah, super smart. Because G-bodies are, not to get on a tangent, but G-bodies are coming up in the sense of people are spending good money on G-body restoration.
Well, it's more affordable than F-bodies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. The 80s and 90s stuff is becoming a lot more affordable. Third-gen Camaros, Fox bodies, square body C10s and such. So, yeah. That's my point. Just partnership, I suppose, in the industry, in the sense where it's not really competition, it's friendly competition, but everybody works together. Right. You know, again, when you have a shop that has a product that they developed, they will then sell to other shops to use on their stuff. But then they're also all building cars at the end of the day that are competing for the same awards.
You bet.
So it's pretty cool to see all that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. So your show, is that happening imminently? Is that something you're going to be putting together soon?
I've had a couple of meetings already.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Right now is timing for me. I'm very busy at the moment getting a car ready to unveil at SEMA that's going to be one of the nicest things we've ever built.
Really?
That's really cool.
So I'm excited about that. And then I've read
on the... Can you tell us what brand it is?
Yeah, it'll be a 70 Plymouth Roadrunner.
Oh, very cool.
With a couple of world's firsts on it for our industry.
Right. Sick.
Nice.
So excited about it.
It's still gasoline powered.
Oh, I guarantee you it's cool. Gasoline powered.
But wings. Right. It has wings on it.
And it's not LS powered either.
Great.
Has a wing on it?
And it's not third gen Hemi powered either.
Great.
Rear stabilizer?
Yawn. But, no, there's not. Stop that. Start badgering me. But right on the heels of that, I've got a 67 GTO. We're going to unveil at Grand National Roadster Show. And then not too long after that, I got a 67 Vet Roadster that's really, really, really nice.
Is that the one I saw?
Yeah.
I've got...
And then we've got other stuff in the pipeline, too. So,
hey, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP-Bolts.com. We got a fantastic little backdrop here. They make it an outstanding series of bolts, almost anything you would need for engines, chassis, things like that. In fact, we were at lunch today, and a guy asked you about the bolt on the back of your shirt. And I said, well, it's really about a head bolt. They neck the stem down of the bolt on a short small block Chevy head bolt, so the clamp load is even across three different head bolt lengths on a small block Chevy. And, you know, so that's the kind of technology that you get out of ARP. And we've all got stories on all that right. stuff.
But, for a translation of what he said, call ARPbolts.com.
but the message is that you can't get any better than that.
No, you cannot.
There you go.
Nope.
We'd like to thank our friends at InTheGarageMedia.com. They have three fantastic magazines. They've got Classic Truck Performance, they have Modern Rodding, and my favorite, All Chevy Performance, with my buddy Nick,
as
the editor.
Biased.
So, yes, of course. But it's a fantastic book. They're doing print media, which is, of course, our favorite. So
In color and everything.
Yes. And you can get your car on the cover of one of those books, which is
right.
a fun no, deal.
A great tech.
Great tech. You know, not always written by me.
Famous people.
Not always written by me.
That's right.
Just pick it up and read it.
At InTheGarageMedia.com, and they're our friends, and they will thank you.
I wanted to swing back around, actually, because, you know, I'm in an interesting place in between, well, back to a topic of kind of the people he is a antenna out to,
mm-hmm.
and you. So for those of you that don't know a whole bunch of background with me, I'm from a really, really small farm town in upstate New York called Apalachin. And I lived and breathed by every issue of hot rod and car craft. There was no car building going on in my area. I knew one gentleman that had a street rod, and that's it. So I was kind of on an island in my mind, 80s, mid-80s, late-80s, reading hot rod, tinkering on stuff. People like him keep it introduced and hopefully interesting and exciting. Right. And I want to be a part of that world. That looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pivotal that you guys do this stuff because you're the next version of what I had, which was my magazines, which I still love. And I still live and die by print. It's what I like and
I
enjoy.
What's getting the biggest hit for you? What stuff is getting the best reaction you put up there?
Pokemon's always been good.
Any surprises?
Well, I mean, like anything else, like, you know, the classic muscle cars, because that's predominantly what my follower base is based around, right?
I've enjoyed they've been putting those more in music videos and movies and television shows.
Yeah, like original
muscle cars are cool again to have a cameo.
For sure. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously original muscle cars, you know, late 60s, early 70s stuff, Chevelles, all the Mopar stuff. All that stuff's always going to have its
Mopar,
time.
Mopar, most of all, of the three.
Yeah, I agree. I would say classic Mopar always gets the most love, in my opinion, on social media.
Which is odd because growing up and doing what I've done for the last 20-some years, Mopar is always the
They were the throwaway.
There were less of them made. Yeah. Way less of them made.
And I think that's maybe that's why that's the intrigue in it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But they're always shocking. Yeah. Like a Superbird or a Daytona is shocking. Of course. Whether you like it or not, it's like, what the hell is that thing?
Of course.
Let alone it's in Panther pink. So.
Right, right. You know, well, I think that was the other thing that was cool about Mopars, that they had the fancy names, right?
The great cars.
You know?
Great colors.
But.
Go man, go. Yeah.
My thing right now that
Statutory
I'm noticing.
Grape. They actually had that name and then didn't use it.
Okay, I was going to say, because I don't remember that.
No.
That's wild.
It was a version of Plum Crazy.
That
Plum
would
crazy
not pass and, today.
And, I like it.
What was canceled. It? Inviolet?
Canceled.
Inviolet. Inviolet.
And yeah. Tor Red.
Tor Red.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Top banana.
Sassy Grass yeah. Green.
Sassy grass green. You bet.
Moulin Rouge.
Yep.
That's right.
Moulin Rouge.
And
Panther Pink.
I need to get you, if you're going to go out to Palm Springs, I got a guy with a collection of classic Mopar stuff that is beyond.
It's lunatic.
I'll send you a video.
Please. Yeah. I went down to Palm Springs last year, actually, with GM Chevy, GMC, one or two.
This guy has a stash of parts that is beyond.
It's unreal.
Crazy. But anyway, so the Mopar stuff is working.
Yeah, so classic Mopar stuff, always a hit. But what I would argue right now.
And what is it that you do? Just go, here's a charger. I'm going to show you the charger?
No.
Well, it depends.
I'm
so
yeah, I'm asking.
No.
So, okay, so break down what my content predominantly is. I would argue that the majority of my content is reshared content. So I do curate content, right, when I go to events and such like that. But when I'm at home and I'm not out and about, I will reshare content from builders, right, or, you know, just followers that have cool cars and such like that. Because what I consider my page is that it's a community of like-minded people right. that enjoy muscle cars.
Right.
So if I follow builders, right, that are building cool, you know, bringing out new cool stuff.
I'll have to send you something.
Yeah, please. Well, duh, you got a number, dude.
I know, but
you just don't talk to me.
Do I look intelligent?
He just doesn't ever talk to me. It's crazy. I know, I'm just kidding. But no, yeah. So, you know, when new cars pop out, right, you know, a lot, again, to the point where a lot of these shops don't have a significant following. So, yeah, they may get their just due at a show where they're right. accredited.
Right.
But online, they may not get that. They may not get the love that it would garner if it was on. So I kind of serve as that medium for a lot of people to come either to share or to absorb that content. And so when I'm not out curating content on trips like this where I can create it, I'm just resharing content from builders.
So you are resharing.
Followers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're supplying you with stuff.
Yeah. Or I'm going out and looking for it. You know, I follow those pages and I'll just reshare their content even if they don't ask me if I feel like it's worth resharing. But what I would argue right now is that, you know, when I first bought my car, my 84 Monte Carlo, I wanted to, one of my dream cars, and it's still attainable, it's just, it wasn't in my reach at the time, is a 67 Chevelle convertible. Anything in the late 60s, early 70s, right. it's still going to bring
works.
A decent amount of money, even if you wanted to get a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Because then you got to build it from scratch. You got to get
a Gremlin.
No, not
a Gremlin. But like, if you want a decent car.
That's your Freiburger.
Right. You got to be, you got to have a real eclectic taste.
But you're not. I can tell you you're not.
You want a decent car, you're going to pay up for it. If you want a bucket, you're going to pay less, but then you got to pay for all the stuff to get afterwards. So you're going to pay money regardless, right?
It's a sliding scale.
So what I've noticed is that my generation of kids born in like the early late 80s to mid 90s, they grew up on that stuff they saw in the early to mid 80s into the 90s, right?
Right.
So, and they're affordable. They made a lot more of them, you know, because they were family cars.
Right.
And they made just a buttload more of them than they did back in the 60s and 70s. And they
survived
longer because they're
support. Like your run has released the catalog for IROC Camaros. So
exactly.
For those years.
Exactly. So in the last,
great.
It lasts 5 to 7 years.
New. I'm old. Holy crap.
Just to get the test cars. Yeah, 83. Yeah.
ZR1 Corvettes, new.
There you go. Do y'all want me to tell you how old I am?
Motor? You're like 4. No,
we had an 83 IROC that was given to us, or it wasn't an IROC, pre-IROC. It was 83 Camaro that was given to us by Chevrolet, and we put a supercharger on it. We did this three-way test in popular hot rodding, and it was one of those cars that had been warmed up. Something had been done to it by Chevrolet. We put a B&M mini supercharger on it, took it to the dyno, Bob Jennings dyno, two scales, 0 to 200 horsepower, pegged that. Doesn't make any sense. It's a 305 rated at like 190 or something like that, right? 370 with a little supercharger.
Out of a 305.
Out of a 305. could not be a 305. Had to be a Chevrolet Cheater because they knew they were in competition with a Ford Mustang and, and a Dodge thing. We hit 100. We got the speedometer go all the way around out in Red Rock, out in Vegas, at 155 out of a 305. No, that's not what it is. No, but I got to tell you, what a rocket that thing was.
Yeah.
It's a set of Youngbloods on it. And,
cool.
It was nice.
There was a lot of cool things. Like I said,
I love those cars, but they're,
I was at working at the dealerships when that stuff came out new, and I worked at a couple of different dealerships. I worked at a Honda dealership, so I was the guy who was actually responsible around the cars, so the owner of the dealership let me drive the NSXs for dealer trades, which are just wonderful cars. Love them. And like I said, the new ZR1 Vette when it came out with the Lotus motor and the IROCs, and of course, you know,
Grand Nationals and stuff.
Yeah, I'm graduating college, and the Grand Nationals are coming out.
Yeah.
And there's a billion 5.0 Mustangs, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Your hand on the thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying that.
Is your playing around? So this.
Is that irritating?
So this brings up a good question. How's the E-Ray?
Oh, that car, that is the coolest Corvette ever made.
I bet.
Is it the fastest?
No,
that's
not.
Actually,
that's
yes.
It's all-wheel drive.
It's the fastest 0 to 60 Corvette. It's not the fastest top-speed Corvette because of the electric motor.
Correct.
Inhibits it. But I would argue the technology, you know, aspect of things and what that car is capable of. It is the coolest Corvette ever made.
All-wheel drive.
Yeah, it's all-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive, electric.
It's an electric front motor, gas rear motor. There's no physical connection to connect the two of them.
No.
And it works.
Right.
And it's not a plug-in hybrid. It's a performance hybrid. It does not affect the gas mileage in any positive way.
No.
It's simply there to assist in performance.
That guy I told you with the Grand Sport down in Florida?
Yeah.
He worked on that for 5 years before it even was talked about. They call it the E-Ray. I thought they were going to call it like the Zora or something like that.
The Zora is a whole other thing.
Is that the ZR1?
The Zora is the one that's supposed to be apparently above the ZR1. It's supposed to be one more after the ZR1.
Above the,
supposedly.
Above the ZR1, not the Z06.
So they have the Stingray, the Z06, the E-Ray.
Right.
The ZR1 is about to come out this summer. And then there's supposedly supposed to be the Zora, which is supposed to be the crazy. I think it's supposed to be a hybrid with the ZR1 motor.
Okay.
So comes whatever the ZR1 motor is going to be, twin turbo flat plane, I guess, out of the Z06. And then the electric front assist that the E-Ray has is my guess. Okay. Nobody has confirmed it.
It comes with an old man from Poland inside, right?
Maybe. That car is going to be insane. But I'm excited about the ZR1. But yes, the E-Ray.
That's Zora.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
The E-Ray is it blends perfect. It blends what the Stingray is and practicality of that with the performance of the Z06, but a car that you can drive all year round because it's all-wheel drive.
Right.
Michelin developed a specific all-season tire that can still pull a G, but it works all season.
Right.
So you can drive the car, and you know, people that live outside of California that have actual weather,
people
all four
live
seasons.
Outside of here?
Yes.
Not anymore.
And
so what are you going to do with it?
Well, I had it for a few days. So this past weekend, I drove it from L.A. to Pismo Beach for the car show up there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it was great. I had a great time. It's such a comfortable car to drive on that road trip up there. And
you like that spine coming down through the middle? I do not.
It's here nor there. As a driver, it's okay. When you're sitting in the passenger seat, you feel super isolated from the driver. I mean, it feels like literally like a Great Wall of China is in between you and the person next to you. It's weird. But I heard that they're apparently redesigning the interior in the C8.
I heard that. I don't know.
I don't know if that's confirmed, that they're redesigning it and getting rid of that. So that would be nice.
Is that the pinnacle of cars you've driven?
No, I mean I've driven some, like, I mean, granted, I guess that's in the supercar class, sort of American supercar class, but I've driven
in terms of American supercar. It's
yeah,
be
new.
Top.
I've driven new Ford GT. I've driven AMG GTR Mercedes. All the M cars. I've driven the Maserati MC20 actually out here in LA last year. That car was nuts.
Yeah.
For a twin turbo V6, that car gets down. In sport mode, it's pretty violent because it's rear wheel drive only. So you got to fight it a little bit. It's a fun car.
I bet.
So I'm going to bust his balls for a second.
Uh oh.
Do you have any motorsports background?
In terms of driving?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've driven road course a handful of times. I can't say I'm Mario Andretti or anything like that, you know, whatever, but I'm not
you're
a noob.
You're too tall.
I'm not a noob.
You're too tall.
That's fine. I used to race SCCA.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know about But there's many people that go online and go, I'm driving this, and I'm I'm like, what's your credentials
right.
to tell me how good or bad this car is?
No, I mean, again, I'm not a race car driver. Mm-hmm. No, you're good. I mean, that's a valid question. I don't have my SCCA license or anything like that, but I have had seat time on road courses, and I've driven a handful of cars to be able to give somewhat of an accurate representation.
If you're out driving in a normal condition, you're got every right to go, this is how this car drives.
Right.
Yep. You know, you may not be doing skid pad articles.
Exactly.
But if you're like, I just drove it for 3 hours, and here's how I felt driving it.
I give representation based on, what I've done with the car. Right. I can't sit here and say, I mean, I took it around the Nürburgring.
You did?
No, that'd be awesome. I haven't been yet. I want to go.
That would be a ride.
Yeah.
That would be a ride.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
I want to go to the Ring, but. Yeah, I just get my perception based off of what I do with the car. You know, the problem is, unless you go on the media drive, the OEMs, unless you work for the a big magazine, the OEMs don't usually give you permission to take the car on track.
No, there's a big deal. There's a big deal about that. Yeah,
it sucks.
No,
I had to ask for forgiveness with Dodge. I took it on the drag strip, and I was like,
drag strip.
Yeah, it's like the car was built for us. It was a Hellcat Red Eye Challenger.
Yeah.
That they let me take to Mo Party. This was like 4 years ago or something like that. So I did the what do they call it? The Grand Champion thing where you do the road driving, autocross, and then drag race, and. I think I did 5 passes total on the drag strip. Mind you, the car is not completely set up. Like, I didn't have an engineer there with me to set the car up properly.
Right.
It's not on the right tires, on the regular, Pirelli tires that comes with.
Right.
I ended up running 5/10 off of the fastest posted time, time, and like 4 miles an hour off.
That's good.
And only 5 passes. Yeah. And that was my first time actually drag racing on a drag strip. I was like, that should be a testament to your vehicle. And they weren't really that mad. They were just like, give us a heads up next time, because they want to make sure they prep the car properly for the next person they give it to. So I was like, all right. They were chill about it.
They're worried about their product looking embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah, because the car comes back with bald tires or the trans is whatever. So it was fair.
Back in 86, a guy was running a Vito in Porsche magazine, and we got a Porsche for a test vehicle, and we drove to Texas and back in 24 hours. And then we had to ask for forgiveness. Hmm. They were not pleased. All the way to Texas and back in 24 hours. We were cooking.
You were cooking.
Goodness sakes.
And we gave it back.
What car was this?
It's a Porsche Turbo. 86 Turbo.
Nice.
They told us not to put too many miles on it.
We drove all the way to Texas.
It's like, what are we going to do?
What's a lot of miles?
What's a lot of miles? I don't know.
Quantify.
Well, that was annoying. That was kind of the annoying thing when I was here and I had the Maserati MC20. I think I was only capped to like 600 miles.
Yes.
And I drove from here to Palm Springs and came back.
You were.
That's not terrible. No. They're not over 600.
You were browsing around the Plastic Cup Boys filming.
I brought that the last day.
My Oldsmobile.
Yeah, I brought that down the last day.
I saw you slinking around.
But I did, the morning I was flying out, I woke up really early for some reason, and I decided to go run California 23 above Malibu from Woodland Hills down.
Well, that's my stomping.
Dude.
Grounds.
Yeah.
I ran that road with the E-Ray when I came back from Pismo because I was looking on the map and I was like, the traffic was backing up on the highway, and I was like, man, where was that exit that I got off to go do that canyon run? I found it.
Yeah.
Man, I gassed that thing up, and I bombed that road. That road's so much fun.
Yeah, I would go down there and just steer with a throttle.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's scary on that road to be doing that.
Oh, I know it is.
That's scary.
I did it with a early 2000s WS6 Trans Am with 6-speed. You can just... in like third and any which way you wanted with that thing.
You get to that certain point. You get to that certain point when you're starting to crest, when you're starting to go back down the hill toward the ocean, and it's rocks on the left side, and then it's like that little bump, and you're off the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So like if your brakes fail or you
not
understeer,
good. Not good,
or oversteer, I should say, then you're gone.
Bad.
It's not good.
It's bad.
Well, it's amazing, having watched your site for a long time, all the different things you have access to. The resharing thing, I don't fully understand all that, but it makes sense, I guess, that, content is content.
Yeah.
If your group hasn't seen it, it's new.
Right.
So resharing is when somebody does something, and then you take it and then show it to your people so you can share it.
That's right. I learned that Kindergarten before, just before, just before.
You should know how to share.
I should anyway, but that's a very cool, you know, thing that you have the ability to work with other folks and be able to pull content out like that.
Yeah. Now, the biggest thing that I'm like truly blown away by after all this time is the ability to be able to call up people like Steve and just people that
calls me.
No, he doesn't call me either, but I can.
Yeah.
I have his number.
He can.
The ability to call, whether I do it or not, is different. But
I have a bunch of stuff from your shop. I have a bunch of stuff that I shot over at your place. I'll have to send it over to you.
So
I can access it.
Yeah,
I use a camera. I'm right here.
I can use a camera.
But it's cool, man, because it's just like, you know, I started out this, you know, in this industry and I was nobody, right? I was just a kid I was 18 and I was just a kid that just liked cars.
What are you like now? 19?
Well, yeah, exactly. I'll be 30 in a week.
There you go.
Yeah. You're old?
Yeah, I'm getting old. Yeah. I got a couple of gray
Welcome
hairs now.
To hell.
It's bullshit. That's but yeah, so it's honestly humbling because, you know, again, I still, you know, in the grand scheme of it all, I still don't think I'm anybody that special, but I've made friends with a lot of important people. Well, I feel that are important people in this industry. They call me their friend too, which is cool. Right. And I can, you know, hit them
like
up.
Him.
Yeah, that's good. Because I know he doesn't like very many people.
I don't.
Yeah, so that's good.
This is also true.
Yeah. So it's just, it's humbling, man, just to be in that position. And then, you know, to have weight in this industry. And my name being mentioned and, like, people actually know who I am is really cool.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And you've got a lot of folks looking at you. If you're getting an E-Ray, you're top of the food chain.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, yeah, again, to be able to just fly into L.A. or be having a trip planned and call up my girl from GM and just be like, hey, I'm going to be here these dates. Can I get an E-Ray? And then she make it work for me. It's cool.
Yeah, that's
like,
big. That's a
like
huge,
shuffling
huge
things around for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just
well, it's completely different because, you know, I came up in the print magazine arena.
Right.
And we used to be able to do that. We could get anything we wanted.
Yeah.
But now there are no print magazines, very little. I mean, Wheel Hub and our friends Hot down Rod. In Anna.
It's still there. It's still a print magazine.
It is still a print magazine, and I wish John McGann all the best we can possibly have. He's a good guy and a good
he's
friend.
He's a great guy, and super unfortunately good guy. His hands are bound a lot of the time.
But, mm-hmm.
But in terms of –
his new issue looks good.
Right.
We were looking at it at lunchtime.
It is.
We were looking at it at lunchtime, John.
That's right. But it's just so very different. There just is it's just a different thing, you know?
Yeah,
your magazines are $10 a piece, you know, 10 or 12 bucks a piece.
Well,
you used to buy
McDonald's is $13.
I understand. But you used to buy two or three magazines when you went to the rack because you could buy them and you'd get all this stuff and you'd get all these ideas and
trust
all that
me,
stuff.
I'm taking loans out because you know my library.
Yeah.
I have only print on purpose and I have quite an extensive library.
Yeah.
I have every issue of Hot Rod magazine since 1947.
Wow. That's got to be worth some money.
I have every issue of Evo.
That's cool. That's a thick magazine.
Yeah,
it is.
You're damn straight.
Yeah.
And I have Octane. I have Vintage Racer. I have Magneto.
What was that other European magazine that it was really like high Octane. Quality? Like
Octane.
Was it that one?
Evo and Octane, and they're both owned by the same people.
Yeah.
And now there's also Magneto. There's Tarzio, which is a race magazine. There's one out of Germany called Automobili Sport, which is incredible vintage racing stuff. And all that crap is, are we boring you?
No, I was just looking at my watch, sorry. No, I'm sorry.
we're getting the high sign.
We're
getting the high sign.
What am I doing? Oh, wrapping it up. Okay, great, leave.
And get out of here.
It's been great to have Todd here.
And, Garrett, not Alexandra, Reed.
Yeah,
there you
exactly.
go. From American Dollar. Muscle Dollar. HD.
Yeah,
for those please look them up, because I'll tell you what, it's a really good site. There's the plug, and it's heartfelt.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I did give him a plug.
We can't leave yet. We got to do the
Well, I'm just shaking hands. So thanks for
say,
having
say
me.
Say thanks, yeah. ARP.
Yeah. Thank you, ARP,
right.
actually.
ARP-bolts.com.
Bob Florine.
Peterson. Well, the Peterson.
Peterson
would
Museum.
Would you let me get there? Oh, these people.
Rushing them.
Anyway. I
feel like I'm with Ralph Cramden.
They don't know who that is.
You who was it?
Ralph Cramden.
The name's familiar.
Good.
Yeah, I know the name.
Can't read a book.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Well, thank Peterson Museum for letting us film here and for the poltergeist behind us.
Yeah.
You can't hear it?
Oh, that means they can't hear it, so they think I'm just
they think you're
nuts.
Crazy. Yeah, they think you're crazy.
Great.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't hear a thing.
What? No. We got to give them a – tell them how to find you.
Oh, yes.
That's
okay.
The most important. That's why you're here.
So on Instagram, American Muscle HD.
What is that?
Instagram.
American
Muscle HD.
See, yes. I couldn't hear the HD.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah.
Enunciate.
Yeah. So that's where you can find me. I have a YouTube as well and TikTok, but predominantly Instagram.
So it's not .com.
No.
No, it is what it is.
American Muscle HD.
Correct.
There it is.
Just Google it, and that's what'll come up.
That's all you need.
And I will now. I'll tell him on. We're not on air.
Get the dynamite out of your ears.
We can. I will send you some stuff.
Cool.
Some of the top secret stuff.
Yeah, please.
Give you little things, and we'll leak it out.
Yeah.
Because that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Because I haven't done that with anybody.
There you go.
I just did it for my TV show.
Use me as the guinea pig.
He says that to all our guests. He says that to all our guests.
Anyway,
this is no special.
I do not.
This is not special.
This is the longest goodbye in our recording.
Yeah, no, as I
thank you, everyone, and thanks for coming out.
No, appreciate it.
Telling the world more.
Thank you.
Thank you.